God said it, that settles it. I don't care what the world does. God is still God. Amen.
Amen.
And he's got everything under control. We got to meet God. God ain't got to come down and meet with us. We got to meet God. Amen. He's the creator of all things. All things is created by him and for him. And because of him, all things consist. Amen. I think we forget about that every once in a while. We forget about who gives us that breath we just took. Amen. It was from God. Amen. And I thank the Lord that we still have some leather lung preachers that'll be flat-footed and don't care about, don't care about folk getting their feelings hurt. You know, let me tell you something. Hey, when you get uncomfortable, and I'm thinking about preaching that tonight, when you get uncomfortable, that's when you change and when you grow. God brings something in you. Hey, God brings something in your life to get you kind of uncomfortable. He wants to get your attention because he loves you. We got so many people running around here with empty rhetoric, don't have nothing to say but a whole bunch of empty words. But let me tell you something. We got independent, fundamental, hell-hating, Bible-believing churches across this nation that's grabbing this old book. Hey, that's grabbing this old book and preaching it. Amen. Crying loud. Amen. Preaching it from sun up to sundown. Let me tell you something. You still got a few warriors out there that don't mind getting out there and opening this book. Don't mind, praising the Lord. Amen. Don't mind, hollering a little bit, getting happy. Amen. We still got them. We need more of them, young folk. We need more of them. Hey, we're going to make change. We got to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't mind doing it. I'll be in Joshua chapter 5 if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, why not?
Amen.
Get yourself a Bible. Amen. Get yourself a Bible and fall in love with this Bible, amen. Basic instructions before leaving earth, amen. We need to get in the book. Take a new look at the old book, amen. It ain't nothing new under the sun. Not at all. But let me tell you what, this inexhaustible word of God will surprise you. I don't care if you've been preaching 100 years. This is the inexhaustible word of God. Brother Murphy will tell you. He said, man, I read this prescription. Man, I ain't seen this before. He been preaching 38 years. And I said the same. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 5. And I ain't got much time. I don't even know what time we got. But I know we probably don't have much time, so I'm going to get on, and we're going to preach the word of God. Joshua, I love Joshua.
Amen. Yes.
He's a man. Hey, if you're a man, be a man.
Right. Amen.
Huh?
Amen. Yeah.
Hey, it's come to a time when I get in these churches, brother, I got to tell folk that.
Right.
Be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. Look like a woman.
Amen.
Act like a woman. Dress up like a woman.
Amen.
Amen. If you're a man, be a man. Shake a man's hand and tell him, look, hey, I'm going to do something and do it.
Amen.
Hey, this is what right looks like is in these fundamental churches. You ain't going to hear this on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, or all them other crazy things. You're going to hear it from people that don't care about, hey, I ain't doing this for money, prestige, popularity. I'm doing it for the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Yeah.
For the Prince of Peace.
Right.
He chose me to be a soldier. He chose you to be a soldier.
Amen.
To please him.
Yeah.
Now, that's Bible.
That's
Joshua was a man's man. He was a soldier. Let me tell you something about leadership. I taught leadership. I was a leader for all these years. I taught. Hey, Army snatched me up and put me in Eisenhower Hall for 7 years, and I was teaching leaders. But let me tell you something. The greatest leader is the greatest follower. Amen. Joshua was a follower under Moses, right there. He was with him. In Exodus 17, when they went, Amalek tried to attack him in Rephidim, in the Valley of Sin. Guess who they pointed to? Joshua. We need some Joshuas today, ladies and gentlemen. We need some folk that, hey, ain't timid at the door. We need some folk that's not timid about telling them that they love the Lord. We ain't, hey, we need some folk to say, hey, these perverted marriages and these people trying to look like women and men is a perversion and an abomination before God. Amen. If God hated, I hate it. Amen. And they said, well, no, that's your way. No, that's God. And if we read the word of God, the Bible wants us to, hey, he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And he showed them how they went to the cross, how Jesus went to the cross. He humbled himself. He was obedient. Leaders are followers. Leaders humble themselves. And that's where the power is at. Because you know who's in charge. So Joshua was called on, and then many a times he was conditioned in Exodus 17. He fought that battle, first battle he ever fought. Then when he went in, and we're going to look here in chapter 5, and I want to pick it up because I ain't got much time, like I said. And I'm going to try to cover 5, 6, 7, and 8. So I'm just going to give you a thing, and I give homework when I go preach, too. So I'm going to give you some homework. Amen. But look, chapter 5, we had some circumcision going on because you had some Israelites that did not get circumcised because they all of them died. These Israelites died in the wilderness, and you had some that didn't get. So you had that going on. You had the Passover going on. Then you had at the end of Joshua chapter 5 is where I want to pick up. Joshua chapter 5 is where I want to pick up at the end of it. Will you stand real quick with it? Will you stand reading the God word? Joshua chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. You know, in Asia, when your sword come out the sheath, something was going to die. It was a game changer, Master. Read it. Same way here. He came not with the sword in the sheath. He came with it drawn. I could preach right there all day, but let's get it. Drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? He didn't know what was going on, but hey, he had sense enough to ask. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. Let me tell you something right there. Hey, he didn't say he was just in charge of the Israelites. He didn't say he was just in charge of men. But he was in charge of whatever's in heaven, whatever's in earth, angels, men, principalities. Hey, he's in charge. Large and in charge. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Yep. I'm the game changer. I'm whether you win or whether you lose, baby. I'm the one you need to focus on. And I tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, that's where you need to focus on, the Lord God. Let's go, let's go. Then he said, and now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Then Isaiah do something similar to that. He saw Jesus high. He saw God high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He said, woe is me. We need some of them woe is me moments. Humility is the key to this thing. Let me tell you something. He said he fell in worshiping. Then in verse 15 it says, and the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thou shoes from off thy feet, for the place upon thou standeth is holy. And Joshua did so. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your church. Lord, I thank you for the leadership you've put here, Lord. Pastor Lawson and his wife and his kids. And Lord, I pray for and thank you for this congregation, this ecclesia, this called out body of believers that you've put here, Lord. Help us see you more clearly. Help us to grow during these next few days. Help us defeat our enemy, dear Heavenly Father. Help us to be victorious in our Christian walk. Lord, we need help. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So we see here that Joshua started things out right. He was seeking God. He was over there on the other side of Jericho trying to figure out how they was going to defeat this enemy with this large, large wall. Have you been there before? Have you been to in a place where you say, hey, man, this is impossible in my strength? This is impossible in my strength. But God, amen.
Amen.
Title of the message is Living a Victorious Christian Life. I want to see folk defeat Jerichos. Yo, you got some Jerichos coming. I want to see Christians defeat AI. Oh, AI is coming. You got some AIs coming too. I want to see victorious Christians.
Amen.
Don't you? I'm sick and tired of seeing people. Marriage is broken. Churches closing down. I'm sick and tired cheering on drugs. Mama on drugs. Daddy on drugs. Children on drugs. I'm sick and tired of. I'm sick and tired of seeing these prisons overflowing with young girls and young boys. I'm sick and tired of it. Where's the answer, preacher? The only hope in America, the only hope in this nation, the only hope in the world is Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We talking about victorious Christian life. Now, hey, people say, well, I'm a Christian. That's fine and dandy, but I want to see you victoriously living the Christian walk.
Amen.
We got another Sergeant Major here. Hey, we just don't want you to be a soldier. We want you to be a great soldier.
Amen.
Amen. Unlimited potential with Christ Jesus. This church has unlimited potential with Christ Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
We need to realize that. And we go, I'm going to show you that during this chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. Chapter 5, we see him on his knees. Don't we? At the end of the day, we see him on his knees. We see him, turn me up a little bit because I won't be able to talk tonight. We see him on his knees, y'all. That's humility. We see him worshiping God. We see him say, hey, what you want me to do, Lord? Amen. No hidden agendas. Amen. No plans in and of ourselves, but to please him who has called us in the service. We see that. And then in chapter 6, we see an outline of what God wants his people to do. The Bible, and you can read it, the Bible, Jesus, the Lord called Joshua and his people. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to circle this place 7 times. I want every day one time. On the last day, 7 times, and you holler and you blow that trumpet, and the wall will fall down. Now, I was in the army 28 years. That strategy there, it goes against common sense. You know, I'm just serious. But trusting in God is not trusting in your flesh. Trusting in God is trusting in his being, stepping out on faith and say, God's got it. I'm just going to follow him. And that's what Joshua did. And guess what happened in chapter 6? The walls came down.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you something. God gives us order. And when we get God's order out of order, that's when we got problems. Now, when the wall failed and they took Jericho, he gave him some more instructions. He told him, hey, burn everything, kill everything. That was a cursed thing. It's a cursed. Don't take anything. And then I want the silver and I want the gold. He gave them some orders in chapter 6. Somebody took upon themselves to go against God's word, that's when we have problems. And then when the next battle came up, guess what? God wasn't with them because you didn't come right with God. We see Achan sinned. We see Joshua getting ready for battle. We see him going into battle, and small AI, crushed him, ran him home, killed 36 of his men. And we see Joshua on his knees crying, why, God? Well, let me tell you something. You should have been on your knees before you went into battle. If God has blessed you with something, it ain't time to change the pattern. God don't change. God want to hear you. God want that fellowship. So I got 3 points I want to give you. Number one, and these are the rules of engagement, R-O-E. Rules of engagement. Number one, you need to know that the Lord is God. And do not break fellowship with him. See, some in this room, maybe all, might know God, but they out of fellowship with God because of sin, right? So we got to know him. Number two, We got to identify the enemy. We must identify who the enemy was. That's why the spying was going on. And we were seeing the placement of the enemy. Who the enemy? Let's bring that today and time now. Our top three enemy is our flesh, the world, and Satan.
Yes. Yeah, that's
right. And that ain't going to change till Jesus comes.
No.
So know God, know your enemy, and number three, obey, obey, obey.
Amen.
Obey the Lord. So if I don't finish this outline, y'all got it already. All right? So we gon'. I want you to realize that Israel was taught that the victory is possible only where there is obedience and honesty to God. Look, can I tell you something that you already know? If you don't, you got to remind. Some preachers have to remind you of this. God knows everything. You ain't going to hide nothing from God. That sin that so easily besets us, he knows it. We cannot defeat our enemy unless we live in an unclouded fellowship with God. The Bible outlines how we should wage war on the enemy. I'm calling it the rules of engagement. First one I talked about was we must know the Lord is in charge. And he must be. We must be in fellowship with him. He is not just the resource, he's the source. He's the power. I tell folks, look, in military, tactics does not win wars. Logistics does. That's why it's so important that you need to study Joshua. Joshua was a tactician, but he knew where his power lied. And that was in Almighty God. The self-existing God. We must submit ourselves to God. That's James 4 and 7. We must realize that he's a holy God. He's set apart and he is special. Number one, I want to show you something out of 1 Samuel chapter 23. Let's go there. 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. This is David now. Show you something. See, David here is going into Keilah. But look what he does. In chapter 23, he says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floor. Therefore, if David, what? Inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. In verse 4, he says, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David went, he says. In verse 12, says, then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. what I want to show you is a pattern of before you make any critical things, decisions in your life, we need to go to the Lord with it. We need to look early in the morning. I'm with the Lord. Late at night when I can't sleep, I'm with the Lord. Hey, if I got something to preach months from now, I'm with the Lord on it. See, the pattern is getting your directions from the Lord. That's what he's showing us here. Let me show you another thing David did. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let me show you something here. The Bible, in 2 Samuel, David had took over Israel as king. Everything going well. He formed a league. He got his people right. Let's pick up the text in 17. It says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hole. He didn't go to hide, ladies and gentlemen. That was in the war room he went, getting a hold of the captain of the Lord of hosts. Why you say that? Keep reading. It says, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtlessly deliver the Philistines unto thy hand. Look at verse 20. Now let's keep reading. In verse 20, it says, and David came to Baal-perazor, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemy before me as the breach of waters. Therefore, if he called the name that place Baal-perazor, and there they left their image, and David and his men burnt them. And the Philistines came yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And look what verse 23 says. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry tree. Let me tell you something. If we're going to call God Lord, God, let him be Lord of your life.
Yes.
Amen. Let him direct every step of the way. Let me tell you something. I got out of the military in 2011. I didn't know what to do with myself. I knew God had called me to preach in 98. I've been preaching for 26 years.
Yes.
I got out of God's will. It's easy to do.
Yes.
I took a contract job, brother. Took a contract job. I'll never forget I was out of Edwards Air Force Base training drones. Operators and combat commanders how to use drones. That was 2012. That's when we was getting all the backlash on TV. saying this anti-war and everything. Not everybody used it. But long story short, I was out of God's will. I'll never forget one day I was there in the desert. God said, "Why are you here?" It's amazing to me how many people met God in the desert. He met me, and I was out there in that desert, man. I couldn't wait to go home and resign. I resigned from that thing. And I ain't missed a beat ever since, preacher. God been blessing us because we obeyed him. Obedience. Obedience, obedience, real quick. So, number one, we need to know he's God. Number two, we need to know our enemy. No matter how what size he is, the enemy is, no matter what position they're in, the enemy, our enemy is the enemy of God. The world system, the flesh, and Satan hate you. I got an illustration here. Y'all may have heard of this, but I ain't gonna cut nobody. But the Alaskan Indians traps wolves. They trap wolves, and what they do, they take a blade and they dip it in blood. Okay? And they freeze it, and then they dip it in blood. And they freeze it, and they stick the end of it into the ground real hard and heavy. And wolves love blood. Yeah. And they lick this thing until their tongue is a mesh. It's done ripped their tongue up. Blood is all over the place. And they still licking it because they love blood. Yeah. And guess what? They're eating their own self up. That's like sin, ladies and gentlemen. That's like our enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, let me tell you something. We love sin.
Yeah, right.
And what they would do is they would eat that, and then matter of fact, the pack started fighting each other because they love blood. That's what's happening in America today. Look at any channel on here. We eating ourselves alive because of selfishness, pride, amen. Lust of the flesh, lust of the pride, pride of life, amen. That's where our enemy is at. It starts with you looking in the mirror. Sin will carry you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Let me tell you something. You have dead wolves all over the place. You got dead people all over the place, all over this nation because of sin. They can't get enough of it. We got these addicted drugs, addiction. Hey, I lost a friend last year on meth. Yeah, he was a friend. He used to go in, knock on doors with me. He was a soul winner. But he stopped going to church. He stopped going. And he had this Delilah that kept pulling him back to them drugs. And he dead. What a waste. It'll carry you farther than you want to go. Hey, the buck stops right here. Hey, this church, amen. Hey, the people in this church that's getting the word of God had to be the one that says we got a God in heaven that came down and died on the cross for us so that we don't have to go to hell, so that we don't have to be locked up in sin.
Amen.
He saved us from the penalty of sin. He saved us from the power of sin. But one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to cut me up out of here. He's going to save me from the presence of sin. And I am ready. Amen. But now we got to condition our mind that sin is sinful. We want to do anything for God, we got to say, hey, if God don't like it, I don't either. We got too many people dying of the blood knife of sin. Too many. They out there. I tell people, my best preaching is out on the streets.
Yeah.
People come up, they curious on what's going on.
Yeah.
And hey, I got guns loaded, baby. Hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about. He done already died on the cross for your sins and my sins. It's a free gift, amen. You ain't got to be licking that blood knife. Hey, I'm going to tell you, it might taste good, feel good, look good, but everything that tastes good, feel good, look good, ain't good for you, amen. We got to tell these kids that. Ain't nobody else going to tell them. We got to tell, hey, some young, old folks that, hey, I had a 71-year-old man got saved.
Amen.
And then the next week up in Dallas, a 71-year-old man got saved. It is never too late. Listen to me. It is never too late to call on Jesus until you're gone up out of here. We need to realize that Lord is Lord. We need to realize that our enemy is the world, the flesh, and Satan. And what we got to do is we shouldn't be ignorant to Satan's devices. For it says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should not get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enemy to God, against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Hey, this flesh don't want to do what God wants it to do. If we don't get nothing else out of it, this flesh don't want to do what God wants it to do. That's why God wants you to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And condition your mind so you can say, no, we going to read our Bible. No, we going to go to church. No, we going to, hey, no, we going to pray today. No, we going to stay a whole 4 or 5 hours in prayer today. We going to get in our word today. Huh? We going to condition ourselves not because we're in a problem or in a situation, but we're going to condition ourselves daily so when those problems of life come, we are ready to fight.
Amen.
So our power source is the Lord. We got to know him. We got to be in fellowship with him. We got to know our enemy. And then we must obey it. I'm going to close this down because I'm already over time. Our sin, we suffer loss. Before I go to verse 3, our sin, we suffer loss. I want you to read Joshua chapter 7 and Achan. Before I go to the last point, I want to bring this out because it's important. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. This is what got Achan, his lust of his eyes. He says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekel weight, then I coveted them. He lusted after them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. You can't hide nothing from God. And what is he going to do with a Babylonian garment? Sometimes we get stuff, we just want it, want it, want it, want it, want it. And then you have to ask yourself, why do I have this? This is just a commercial. Go in your closet, go in your garage, and make an assessment. Some stuff probably in your way you tripping over, you don't need. Give it a Goodwill, and then use that money to get a God's house. Amen. He went and got a Babylonian garment and a bunch of stuff he didn't even need. But let me tell you something. He obeyed, he disobeyed God, and he suffered loss. Look at 24, verse 24. And Joshua and Israel with him took Achan from the son of Zerah, and the silver and the gold and the garments and the weight of gold and his sons and daughters and his oxen and his ass and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And there arise over him a great heap of stones upon this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. I want you to make this thing, I want you to see this. Achan means troublesome. Valley of Achor means trouble. Achan came out of the tribe of Judah. Let me tell you something. God expects more out of Moore Baptist Temple than some holiness church down the street. Hello? The tribe of Judah he came out of. You know what Jacob said the tribe of Judah was? Hey, tribe of Judah was special. Tribe of Judah came out special. Tribe of Judah was going to be a provider. Line of the tribe of Judah, hey, was Jesus. Let me tell you something. These Bible-believing churches, More is expected out of them, if you know that Bible, than somebody just walking on the street and don't know. That's why Jesus, the Lord said, look, Israel has sinned, transgressed against us. Let's look at that. I want to get this, and we got to close, but I want you to see this because it's important to us. We talking about old paths here. Chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. He didn't say Achan at first. He said the children of Israel. For Achan, the son of Chamor, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the what? Tribe of Judah. Took of a cursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Let me tell you something. If somebody around my camp and his name means troublesome, I'm going to give him my undivided attention. I'm going to have to watch him a little more. Huh? I'm just being real with you. God's word is just inexhaustible. Right. We need to apply this to our life, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why I brought that up is that when before Joshua went into Ai, he should have been on his knees to a holy God and saying, God, should we go into Ai? I don't care how significant it might look, how that trouble might look. God, I need you all the way. And that didn't happen. And you see what happened. And then, and I'm not going to read it, you listen to homework tonight before tonight. Chapter 8. Joshua got back in fellowship with God. God gave him explicit instructions, setting up an ambush for Ai, and Israel took Ai. And then at the end of chapter 8, I want to read this. This is important because it goes with the old paths. At the end of chapter 8, look what happened. He says in verse 34, he says, afterwards, that's Joshua, read all the words of the law and the blessings and the cursings. You hear that? The blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that was conversant among them. Let me tell you something. He preached. He didn't want the things that had happened to happen again. He wanted to be loud and clear. That's why we need to be in the church house. Every time the church doors open, we need to hear what God has to say, to remind us that he is Lord, to remind us that we have an enemy, to remind us that we must be obedient to God, amen, because I'm sick and tired of seeing casualties on the battlefield. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. And you should be too. When we get God's order out of order, then we got chaos. And that's what you're seeing. From the White House to the Poe House, that's what you're seeing. I ain't gonna complain about the lost politicians. What I'm concerned about is the love of the church and how we gonna influence the world. Victory in Jesus. I don't know about y'all, and I don't know who's saved here, but I know I'm saved. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretched sinner like me. Do you know him today? Let us pray. Do you know him? If there's anybody out here that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, show of your hand going up in the air. We'll take an old book and we'll name the Bible, God's Word, and we'll show you his love. And that he's the only Savior on this planet. Is it anybody like that? That need Christ as their personal Savior? Well, Christians, do we have them hidden sins that we think nobody don't know about? Let's get rid of it. You want to see God's hand on this meeting today? You want to see God's hand on your life today? We got to get rid of. Do we got some Achans out there today? Think they're going to hide some things from God? You can't hide from God. God want to use you, but you got to come clean with God. This altar ought to be packed full. I know I'm going to be here. What about you, saint?